Welcome back, everyone. This is Eric Elfson with the Digital Education Podcast, where I get the opportunity to talk to, really more so than interview, have a conversation with people who are doing interesting things, innovative things, educators, leaders. And today, introduction, many people have listened to me talk to Rex Miller in the past, and then to some of his friends that he's introduced me to. And today I'm with Will Ritchie, founder of Journeyman Inc., father of Diverse Lounge, an under 21 spoken word, live music, and visual arts event, and then award-winning spoken word artist, teacher, and creative director. Before I start, I'm going to read one of the quotes that you've given me, Will, and it says, "When I share my joy, I multiply my happiness. When I share my pain, I divide my sadness. When I embrace the two, I become whole. We become whole." Can you give me like a picture of how you got started in this, how you got started in the idea of just being a spoken word artist, but Journeyman Inc., Diverse Lounge, and why a city, you know, how did you get connected with the city of Dallas, Deep Elm, and the work that you're doing there?
Yeah, sure, Eric. First of all, thanks for having me on. I'm really honored to be here. Love Rex Miller and all the connections he makes with us across the country. He's just a wonderful conduit of relationships. And yeah, I mean, let's start with that quote, right? That quote, the first four lines, I can't claim it as my own. They came from a dear elder therapist in a group therapy setting that I was in, that I received for about 5 years, every Tuesday night. For about 5 years, didn't miss too many of them because it was like required, you know, to go. But as I was developing this work, and we were developing work in this community, I really grasped onto that concept of, you know, sharing our joy, multiplying our happiness, sharing our pain, dividing our sadness. I think a lot of people who go, who've been through a lot of pain and challenge and heartache, will go seek help. From therapy, from 12-step program, spiritual guidance. And I think they come in with all that pain, right? And their desire is to get rid of it, right? Divide it. But I think the flip side of that is that people actually have just as hard of a time celebrating joy, right? And having confidence that joy and happiness can be attained. And I think there's a myth, with especially people with who are in pain, that we have to like flip it all the way to like 100% joy and happiness. But that that experience that I had there and other kind of like healing experiences I've gone through in my journey helped me understand that I've got to accept both of those, right? Joy and pain. And when I accept my joy and pain, and particularly in our work in the community, and we can share that kind of message with a community and provide safe and sacred spaces for not just young people, but older people to express themselves, then we can become whole, right, as a community. And so I guess that's kind of like the onus of kind of where we started without detail and where we are now. I was born in Natchez, Mississippi, grew up primarily in Louisiana. My father was a white guy from Louisiana who I loved and adored as my hero. My mother was a Puerto Rican princess, as he said, from Atoray, Puerto Rico, born and raised there for 20 years. And they fell in love in New Orleans in college, got married on the island, and moved back to his town. And somewhere along the way, I used to think that it was like maybe a tension-filled conversation, but I think I've grown to understand it's very practical now that I have a wife and children. Somewhere along the way, they decided not to speak Spanish in the home. Even my mother. So me and my three siblings were reared in a home without my mother's tongue. And so one of our other strong quotes in this work with Diverse Lounge and Journeyman Inc. is, my voice has power to speak my truth and share my light. We always show that with the right hand when we do call and responses. And then with our left hand, we honor my mother and those who speak another language, in particular Spanish, by saying, mi voz tiene poder para hablar mi verdad y compartir mi luz.
So, Will,
yeah, I guess that's a bit of a personal connection, yeah.
So can I dig a little deeper there in your experience? Because I think a lot of people struggle with, the role of, another language like that and what it means to them and what they think about. I still remember having a conversation with one of my best friends who, was an American kid who grew up in another country, but then had a parent who, spoke another language. So he kind of knew three languages, and it was, what does it all mean to who you are and the identity of who you are, and to give meaning to some of the depths of who you are, to be able to embrace that, kind of other language, or like you talk about your mother's tongue.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so since we were living in my father's town, right, I grew up pursuing all of his dreams. And obviously in English, right. And my mother being the faithful wife that she was, and the light of the home and the homemaker, really received her spirit, right, in our upbringing. But I think lacking her tongue, right? I mean, can you imagine? I ask young people and older people this all the time. Can you imagine marrying someone? Let's say you marry someone from France, right? And you move to France, and they're like, oh, by the way, I don't want you to speak English, right? So there is something that you miss that I think void is too big of a word, but I think that there's an absence there, right? I know that I eventually learned Spanish living and studying in Costa Rica. And what happened as I began learning the language is that I began having feeling. I began learning words, literal words in Spanish that I never had in English my whole life. And then I began feeling things and articulating things, living with the family who didn't speak English. Studying, even falling in love there without the English language, and then realizing that, whoa, there's this whole vast, exploration I can do now because I've literally unlocked, right, that mother tongue. Matter of fact, what's funny is that as I learned in Costa Rica, I also learned that Costa Rican Spanish and Puerto Rican Spanish had very different accents, as does Spanish from Central America or Mexico. And that opened a whole other world, right? So yeah, it was a powerful absence and then a powerful discovery.
So when you started Diverse Lounge and when you kind of, the goal, I think, as I read through it and as I watch some of it online and get to know it a little bit better, is to be able to give voice, to allow people to, express, their joys, their pain, and to really, for kids and for young adults to be able to do that. How have you seen the Diverse Lounge, and maybe give, an explanation or a little bit on what it really is so that people can kind of understand it. And I'll link some of the videos to it, but the idea of like, how did you kind of go from there to that experience to then seeing this grow, seeing it become a larger event, and then also, seeing it being welcomed into, schools and assemblies and even businesses and other organizations?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Diverse Lounge is spelled D-A-V-E-R-S-E, right? So Diverse Lounge, and it was a play. We started it 14 years ago, just to play on words like V-verse and diverse at the same time in the same word. It was a strong word. We loved it. It was a fresh word. But I have to take you back to college when both myself and my family were dealing with a lot of mental health issues, some addiction issues, and just having lived, again, that dream, all the dreams of my father. He was a basketball player. I got to play basketball at a small school. But our family didn't have ways of talking through and processing through a lot of the mental health and addiction issues that we were having within our family and outside of that, right? So I began, seeking outlets. And one of them was writing, and one of them was telling stories. And my father's an awesome storyteller, and I kind of inherited that gift from him. So the spoken word poetry aspect started with that exploration having gone to Costa Rica, learned Spanish, and then telling these stories, some of them bilingual, some of them, you know, just in English, obviously the tongue that I have most confidence in. And when I finished school, I found myself walking the Camino de Santiago de Compostela, which is a 500-mile walking pilgrimage across northwestern Spain. It's the oldest Christian pilgrimage in the world. And that's where I really began writing pieces, like whole pieces that I brought back to me with Dallas, to Dallas to perform. And with a degree in education and a minor in Spanish, I naturally was a Spanish teacher in high school. I taught ESL to students who were not native English speakers. I found a passion there, I think inspired by my mother's Spanish silence. And one thing led to another where we connected with musicians, we connected with artists, visual artists, and we had an event called Artist Night Out for the community. And somebody from the Dallas Theater Center came and said, hey, could you do this for teenagers? And we said, sure. And so when we started it, it was just very raw. And I was had left the classroom officially, was doing a lot of after-school workshops, really wanted to kind of develop a curriculum for outside the academic space, outside of state testing, right, where folks could just really express their essence. I had these three tenets that were kind of under the radar that I didn't really share with a lot of people when I first started. And those were the hope that we could facilitate an event in a space where we had no political propaganda, no religious elitism, and no forced competition. And where that derived from was, you know, growing up in a home where there was only one political side you could be on, only one way of expressing your faith. And just on a personal level, and I love my dad, we've reconciled since, but he chose basketball for me over baseball when I was just a young child because he felt like I was more skilled in that area. So by taking all of this, right, this this team background, this individual need to express myself, this hunger for mental health and understanding around addiction of other family members, I just tried to culture the open mic in that way. And we have grown it over 14 years. We started with maybe 50 people in two or three schools. Now our shows happen six times a school year, once in the summer. We have 500 or 600 attendees, sometimes 700. Sometimes we have 100 teenagers signed up on a list. So if you were to come to a diverse lounge, you would see me hosting a full band of like seven musicians, a live painter doing a new image every show, a scribe artist, kind of like Michael Lagacki, one of Rex Miller's good friends and people who work with him. And then the whole night from 7 to 10 p.m. is just students under the age of 21, middle school, high school, college students who were sharing their original works. And it's just been a powerful, it's been a powerful experience. We've had a lot of ups and downs. The show almost died after like the fifth year. But this particular year, we have a curriculum in 22 different schools, two-thirds middle schools, one-third high schools. And like you said, you know, we're blessed to do assemblies. We'll be seeing about 1,000 students tomorrow. But like this past Monday, we did professional development for a whole faculty. And it's just been a really, it's been a beautiful blessing to see all the intentionality that we put into our own mental health. My creative partner, Alejandro Perez Jr. and I, and just the rippling effect of the other artists and educators and, like you mentioned earlier, business folks who are connecting with us now.
You know, this is it's amazing to think about all these connections and you know, probably this journey that you went on when you look back to kind of see where you're at today, you know, really kind of, and you talk about something like this that about 5 years in, it almost died. And on your Journeyman Inc. site, you talk about some of your beliefs. And you talk about, and one of the beliefs is we believe our work is about people and process. This allows us to produce practice, not performance. And I think in this area, I think even for myself and just other people that I know, I mean, this would be a very intimidating, you know, process or very intimidating to give voice, you know, to some of these areas that we go into and to get up and to perform it for other people. You talk about the curriculum, you've talked about the templates, you know, how have you created, you know, in some of this ways, as you talk about believing in people and process, how have you created that to say, you know what, yes, and to take some of your other beliefs that yes, you can do this, and yes, this can bring people together in some of those ways that you kind of mentioned.
Absolutely. Well, if you look at the core, right, of, let's say, a good therapy group, not just an individual session, or the core of a very strong 12-step group, right, whether it's on the addiction side or on the Al-Anon side. And certainly, if you look at the core of a strong, unconditional faith community, right, we're not asking you for your last names or where you work or, where you've been throughout your entire life. We just want to know who you are. We want to meet you halfway. And what we found out is that people, you know, always want to say, hey, let's have a conversation, right? And not only let's have a conversation, but can we have, can we listen to one another, right? But what we found out in our work is that you need more tools to do that. So even if we set up an environment, again, with no political propaganda or religious elitism or forced competition, we still need tools. So that's where the curriculum comes in. And early on, probably the first 10 years of our work, we are doing all kind of different writing prompts, maybe 12 years of our work even, just as you would receive maybe in a classroom or something, just as long as it was meant to be heard, experienced, and felt, right? That's what we want spoken word to be. It is speaking these words out loud, to be heard, experienced, and felt, and received by someone else. And then we came across this idea, and this is where Rex and I had a strong connection too. We started our very first like writing template is just a simple one called Who I Am. And we found out that we could do that template with students, specifically middle and high school, but also as Rex gravitated towards it, as other people did, we started sharing it with faculties, with in a corporate setting. And we found as we created more and more of these writing templates that they were low risk, high success ways of connecting with a group of people, having them express themselves on the lines, right? But most importantly, pairing up with an individual in that room to share face to face. And then for those courageous enough or who have the desire to share in front of the whole room, right? So if you go back to the diverse knowledge concept and I say, hey, we've got 100 kids trying to share their pieces from 7 to 10 p.m., you know, those are the bravest of the brave, right? They're not all memorized pieces and stellarly performed. Sometimes the kids get up there shaking. Well, adults are the same way, right? Everybody in a room doesn't want to get up and share in front of everybody. But if you culture the setting well enough, if you express at the very beginning of your presentation, as we do, we try to accomplish three things in a presentation. We want to invite joy, or introduce joy, invite depth, and offer reflection. And that's where the response comes, as you just asked, with the adults, where they are filling out these templates. You know, we have one on hope, one on gratitude, one on friendship, one on refuge. We have one, a powerful one called My Journey. You probably know this. I mean, the power of story, people have been asking, you know, the story thing has been going around, right? All these last few years, you know, can you tell your story? Well, Journeyman Inc. in Diverse Lounge, we help you do that by using these writing templates. And you overcome your fears, you know, you become more confident. And hopefully it leads you to a deeper story and a deeper dive that, again, is low risk, high success to share with other folks.
Well, and it seems to me like, you know, like even I'm looking at my journey right now, the template, and just going through it, even in my own mind. And, you know, there's some great things there. And I think, it's that place where often we get to the place where we desire to matter to other people. We desire other people to understand us, to really in that understanding of us, to really know us. And you know, it seems like these are, you know, great tools that allow people to kind of begin to bridge those gaps into, you know, and to see, you know, and really even put words for their own story, but then to hear other people tell their own story and to make sense of it and to better, you know, appreciate who that other person is, as well as, you know, is allow others to appreciate who you are too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. In the school setting. So again, tomorrow we'll have, you know, two assemblies, about 500 students each. In the school setting, and we come in there, and we're very verbal and vocal and musical. Alejandro is just so gifted as a multidisciplinary artist. He's a musician. He is a gymnastics coach. He does a thing called capoeira, which is an Afro-Brazilian martial art. So our assemblies are designed to really be interactive and get the kids feeling really happy and joyful. And when they're comfortable in that joy, that's when you invite the depth. We share a little bit about our story. You know, he's half Black, half Puerto Rican. I'm half white, half Puerto Rican. We interweave kind of like all of our differences, but how we actually have more in common than different. And then we literally pass out 500 of these templates in a gym or auditorium or whatever. And they write, and they're asked to pair up with someone else. And this is our answer to bullying prevention, drug and alcohol prevention, suicide prevention. I mean, obviously, we're quite utopian. You probably figured that out at this point. But we're not trying to save the whole world, right? We're just trying to be advocates of getting the most out of who you are present with, you know? And he and I both have been through so much pain and struggle and heartache and brokenness, but we've also done a great deal of work. And I think that's part of the fear that people have with being maybe more open or vulnerable. As a teacher said Monday, they actually did that My Journey template. And she said, I felt so vulnerable, but it was so nice to share with my faculty member. You know, I learned some things about that person that I never knew. And of course, in our work, which is emotional literacy or emotional intelligence, emotional quotient, or in school, social emotional learning, we look at vulnerability as strength, right? And I think that a lot of folks are talking about how this wave of empathy and compassion is what our culture needs, is what our world needs. And I just hope and pray that we can continue to be, you know, channels for folks to express themselves and be accepted.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just got one last question for you, you know, as we kind of close out our time together, and this has been amazing to me because, you know, even as you are talking, I mean, I wasn't necessarily, you know, at the beginning of the conversation thinking about, you know, bullying programs and just even some of the other things that you just mentioned there. And there is such a need in schools and such a depth in schools for relationships, for community to be known. And I truly appreciate the utopian nature of it all, because there's great hope there and there's great work to be done to drive us towards those things. You know, it's an odd question, maybe something that, you know, I didn't prep to ask you, but you kind of bring it up, you know, you've got hopes and prayers and, you know, when you think about 2019 and beyond, like what are your hopes? What get you excited for this creative work for kids in schools and for, you know, your community in particular and your place in that community, but then, you know, for our larger, you know, community as a whole of people?
Well, I'll have to be, you know, very, very open right now. My wife and I, we're expecting our fourth child, right? We have a 12-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 2-year-old. Really looking forward to that in 2019. My mother passed abruptly in May, and it has been the latest shift, right? Personal shift that strongly impacts my work, my professional life. One of my mainstay stories that I've shared probably, you know, in almost every presentation I've done in 15 years is about her. Right. And discovering that mother tongue and then honoring her. I often say that I lived my first 20 years for my dad, my 30s for my mom. Up till 20 for my dad, my 20s for my mom. And then in my 30s, started to realize as I approached 40 that let's bring a balance to it all, right? So I pray for continued balance in 2019. I pray that this very real, very raw reality of losing my mother and gaining a child, a baby girl even, is just can bring more, I think, clarity and more core motivation to our family. I've had the honor of working with my wife here over the last year and a half. And I don't really look too far beyond that, right? It takes a lot of effort to be in this space of, once again, of social emotional learning. I want to be a good steward to my friends, my coworkers. Yesterday, we had 10 journeymaning partners at a school all day. I understand that I'm a gatekeeper really for a lot of our community here, and I want to continue to unlock doors. You know, I hope to do more work with Rex and would love to reconnect with you somewhere down the line, and just other people who are out there and have just, if something resonated with them today, in this talk, that we just continue to, once again, recognize we have more in common than different, and how can we share tools, and share our intentionality to live in a better world. And I think that's what I want for 2019. I know that may seem kind of vague, but we have our hands full. I mean, we certainly want more people to come work with and for Journeyman Inc. and with and for Diverse Lounge. But ultimately, we're not out for the prize, right? We're not seeking the golden calf.
Yeah.
We're just trying to follow his will and do what the Most High, what God has called us to do.
So, Will, if somebody's listening to this, and I'll put some links with the podcast, you know, to get connected with you, somebody wants to come and see one of these experiences, you know, that you do, you know, the Diverse Lounge or some of the work that you do. How do they get connected, or how do they come, you know, be a part of that larger experience to see, you know, what's happening there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our website is journeymaninc.com, JourneymanInc. Don't forget the K, journeymaninc.com. And you can find information there. We are redeveloping it here actually in 2019. Hopefully there's going to be some new information and videos and things. Diverse Lounge, once again, DAVERSE Lounge. We are a partner, proud partner with an organization called Big Thought, bigthought.org, which is the largest creative arts nonprofit here in Dallas, Texas. And so you can Google Diverse Lounge, you can Google Big Thought. You know, there's a lot of information on those three, kind of from those three angles. You know, my name is Will Richey, of course, R-I-C-H-E-Y. I shared with you a video that's on YouTube, right? That's kind of hidden. You can find some of those videos out there. I'm not as driven to be that solo performer anymore, that solo writer. What I love being is partnered with AP on stage, or even more members of our team. So, like I said, we're here in Dallas. We've traveled all over the state doing work. We're moving out of the state more and more, and we're available, you know, as long as our bandwidth can reach.
Yeah.
And also as long as our, you know, our intentionality fits, right? Our purpose statement is creating safe spaces for authentic connection. And if we can help you create a safe space for authentic connection, hopefully we can meet, hang out and see what happens.
Awesome. Thanks, Will. Thanks so much for your time. And I look forward to hopefully attending sometime or getting connected or even having you out here in California. It'd be awesome to have you and AP out here. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Eric.